This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, heavyweight stars break records, buckyballs in space, and the origins of a hypervelocity star. Stars come in many sizes. Some are small and incredibly dense, a teaspoon of material weighing more than a fully laden truck. Others are huge but rarefied, large enough to swallow the orbit of Jupiter, but much less dense than the Sun. Observations suggested that the upper limit on a star's mass was 150 times that of our own Sun, and whilst recent observations have detected a few stars approaching this mass, the question remains whether this apparent limit is physical, they cannot form larger than this, or statistical, they can, but are so rare that it is unlikely there are any close enough to us to be detectable. Likely locations for such stars would be in high-mass young clusters, since the more massive a star, the faster it uses up its fuel and dies. Part of the problem is that the central parts of massive star-forming regions, the very places these stars might be if they form at all, are very crowded places, making imaging and spectroscopy of individual objects a difficult undertaking. But in a paper published in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society during July, a team of astronomers has now found evidence of some record-breaking stars with masses well above the 150 solar mass limit. The team, led by Paul Crowther at the University of Sheffield, used observations from the archives of both the Hubble Space Telescope and the Very Large Telescope in Chile to study stars in two clusters where rapid star formation is still occurring. Different atoms and molecules absorb and emit light at characteristic wavelengths, resulting in a series of absorption or emission lines in a spectrum which can be used to determine what chemicals are present. Since different chemicals are stable within different temperature ranges, the chemical signatures present in a spectrum can give an estimate of the temperature of a star's atmosphere. The width of these lines is determined partly by the speed of the gas creating them, which is determined by the temperature. The hotter a gas, the faster the particles within it move. These diagnostics give an estimate of the luminosity of a star, from which its mass can then be estimated. By examining spectra from NGC 3603, an open cluster located in the constellation of Carina, and R136 in the Large Magellanic Cloud, the astronomers estimated the masses of several massive stars, and found several that are larger than the theoretical 150 solar mass limit. As stars age, they lose material in a stellar wind. Generally, the more massive the star, the stronger the wind, and the more material is lost per second. The largest of the stars examined in this survey, R136A1, has a wind speed of roughly 2,600 km per second, and a current mass 265 times that of the Sun, but has probably lost an estimated 20% of its mass in the first 1.5 million years of its life, so that it may have started out as massive as 320 solar masses, way above the current limit generally used in modelling stellar populations. These findings have implications for our understanding of stellar evolution. Exactly how such massive stars form is not certain, and the question remains as to what happens when they reach the end of their lives. Stars between 8 and 150 times the mass of the Sun end their lives as core collapse supernovae, leaving behind a compact neutron star remnant. But stars this massive may be the progenitors of so-called pair instability supernovae, explosions so violent that they rip apart the star altogether. Much of what we can see in the universe is made up of hydrogen. Some heavier elements, such as helium, were created naturally as the universe cooled following the Big Bang, and others have been created in violent supernova explosions. Under the right conditions, elements combine together forming molecules, and evidence has been found for hundreds of simple molecules in space, including several more complex ones. Now, evidence has been found for a particular form of molecular carbon in a planetary nebula. In a paper published in Science Express on July 22nd, Jan Carmi of the University of Western Ontario and colleagues described the detection of molecules known as fullerenes in the spectrum of a planetary nebula, the gaseous ejecta left over when a Sun-like star reaches the end of its life and becomes a white dwarf. Prior to the white dwarf phase, the star ejects its outer layers of material in an outflow. Chemical reactions in this outflow turn the material into a variety of molecules, and, eventually, dust grains. The team observed the circumstellar material of TC1, a young planetary nebula, using the infrared spectrograph on the Spitzer Space Telescope. What they found were so-called diffuse interstellar bands in the near-infrared part of the spectrum, at wavelengths identical to those seen in laboratory experiments with fullerenes. Fullerenes are a peculiar form of carbon, resembling a football in structure. Also known as buckyballs, fullerenes are molecules consisting of large numbers of carbon atoms, arranged in five or six-sided faces, effectively like the panels which make up the surface of a football. Fullerenes come in different sizes, but these observations show evidence for forms containing 60 and 70 carbon atoms. In the laboratory, the formation of fullerenes is inhibited by the presence of hydrogen, So the presence of such molecules in this nebula suggests that the environment around TC1 is hydrogen deficient. The authors suggest that this unusual environment is a result of the star having ejected its outer hydrogen envelope a few thousand years ago, exposing the underlying helium shell. These two molecules are the largest so far found in space. They make up a few percent of the total carbon present in the nebula, showing for the first time that if the conditions are right, fullerenes can form efficiently in space. Most stars in our galaxy orbit around the galactic centre, according to well-known laws of motion. The Sun travels in its orbit around the galactic centre at a velocity of approximately 220 km per second. A rare class of fast-moving stars, known as hypervelocity stars, move much faster. Only a handful of such stars are known, all discovered since 2005, and thought to have been ejected from the galactic centre at some point in the past. Now, a team of astronomers using the Hubble Space Telescope have found a hypervelocity star with one of the fastest speeds yet, and confirmed that it did in fact originate in the Milky Way's core. The star is travelling through space at 2.5 million kilometres an hour, three times faster than the orbital motion of our own Sun. The team, led by Warren Brown of the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics in Massachusetts, used Hubble observations to measure the direction of motion of the star, and found that its trajectory points directly back to the centre of our galaxy. The star is travelling twice as fast as it would need to in order to escape the gravitational pull of the galaxy, something that does not occur under normal circumstances, so something unusual has to have happened in order to give it such a kick. The team calculated that, based on the star's velocity and current position, it must be 100 million years old, if it has indeed been thrown out of the core. The twist is that the star's mass, about nine times that of the Sun, and blue colour, imply that it should have reached the end of its life after just 20 million years. In a paper published in the Astrophysical Journal Letters during July, the team suggests that the most likely explanation is that the star was originally part of a triple system, which underwent a cosmic game of pool with the black hole at the centre of the galaxy. Their model involves a pair of closely orbiting stars, together with a third star orbiting further out, which came close to the black hole. The black hole pulled the outer star away from its companions, transferring some momentum to the remaining binary system and increasing its velocity. As they travelled away from the galactic core, the pair continued to evolve as normal, with the more massive star reaching the red giant phase first. As it expanded, the outer layers of the giant star swallowed up its companion, and the two stars spiralled together, merging to form the star we now see, an example of the class known as blue stragglers, stars that appear bluer and younger than nearby populations suggest they should. The team are using the same techniques to determine the histories of several other gravitationally unbound hypervelocity stars located in the outer regions of the Milky Way. And finally, on July the 23rd, NASA released the highest resolution map so far of the entire surface of Mars. The Thermal Emission Imaging System, or THEMIS, has been imaging Mars from orbit on board NASA's Mars Odyssey spacecraft, which began science operations around the planet in February 2002. The detailed map has been constructed from data obtained over the last 8 years by combining nearly 21,000 individual images to create a giant mosaic, which is available to the public. At full zoom, the smallest surface details are just 100 metres wide. According to Jeffrey Plaut, Odyssey project scientist at JPL, the map lays the framework for global studies of properties such as the mineral composition and physical nature of the surface materials. While portions of Mars have been mapped at higher resolution, this map provides the most accurate view so far of the entire planet.